At around 1 in the morning, I almost nodded off to sleep. With steely resolve, I wiped the sleep from my eyes and decided to walk around the house to clear my head. As I was making my 7th round of the downstairs, I heard the garage door open and close. I froze. I left my weapons upstairs. I looked around quickly for something, anything, but found nothing. I flashed in against the wall and edged closer to the stairs leading up to the garage. All the while, straining my ears. Hearing nothing, I glanced around the corner and saw nothing. I stared for a few seconds and crept up the stairs, dispensing my weight so as not to creak the floorboards. I grasped the door handle to the garage and opened it, where only boxes and things you would normally find in a garage greeted me as I entered. More shuffling noises and erupted in the back, behind several tires of boxes obscuring my vision. I was scared out of my mind. Did Preston find a way in? Why would he? It was my move. I crouched as I moved closer to whoever it was, but nothing prepared me for what it was. When I turned the corner, I saw it, my punching bag, the kind that you fill the base up with water. It was swaying back and forth. As puzzled as I was, I managed to whisper, "What the hell?" The swaying stopped, and the punching bag swiveled to stare at me. It stared at me. My mind was in full fury, trying to make sense of when it spoke. "Dickhead!" screamed the bag as it lurched forward. I looked horrified. It had a mouth, too, and it was speaking. It followed my frozen body, and I fell to the ground, scrabbling backwards the way the crab would walk. The thing broke down to me and looked at me. "Look who showed up! About damn time, Captain Lipris! Bring it on!" With that, it began to charge. I snapped out of my daze and bolted upward, and without thinking, lashed out, striking the bag thing in, well, I guess the face. To my surprise, staggered backward with a look of happiness on its side. "That was a good one!" The look of hate had vanished. Its voice sounded almost shy. Still being in a state of shock, I stood there as the thing began to tell me that it was sorry for being angry, and the only reason it did that because I hadn't paid attention for 2 years. I learned the punching bag loved being punched. That's what it was made for. However, I soon realized that if it wasn't punched at least 5 times an hour, it started to get mad. It apologized to me for being angry, then stopped while its mouth and eyes turned angry. I clocked it upside the head, and its friendly demeanor came back. It said its name was Struck, and I thought of the irony, but paid it little attention. I mean, I was talking to a punching bag. A few hours went by, and the sun began to rise. I helped Struck up the stairs, and we watched TV. I took a shower and came downstairs, making another helping of toast. "Are you hungry or something?" I asked the bag. It swiveled around to face me with double eyes and said, "Yeah, how about a knuckle sandwich, bitch?" I calmly walked around and struck. Later the next day, I finally succumbed to the fact that the punching bag was, to me, real. I cleaned the dust off Struck and beheld his red glossiness and rubbery texture. He thanked me and then cussed me. I proceeded to beat him. A little later, I told Struck about the situation I was in, about Mary and the crazy old man. He nodded, and an arm sprouted out and gave me the finger, and then went back in and when I cold-cocked him. Surprisingly, though, Struck was very nice and friendly, until his fits, of course. It was almost 10 at night, and then Struck and I already went through my plan, and he gave me some information back, along with some ideas. I started to feel a kind of friendship with this freak against physics laws. I went to the kitchen and took out a frozen pizza. I was ready to put in the oven until something caught my eye. It was a stick of butter. I turned my full attention to the rectangular cube of heart attack and cried out in dismay as a butter knife whizzed past my head at terminal velocity, embedding itself 3 inches to the cupboard behind me. "Whoa!" I shouted as I ducked another one, catching a glimpse of the butter standing on one end of its eyes, twitching devilishly. "What are you doing, trying to kill me?" I raising my eyes and answered. "Yeah, damn it, I am." As the butter spoke, he had the speech accent of a Jack Nicholson, who was incredibly unnerving. All of a sudden, a chorus of noise sprung around, and I screamed into the refrigerator, revealing a horde of quibbling food items, eggs, ketchup, lunch meat, and much more of chanting, "Kill the giant!" I tried to move back, and something ripped me, and I fell to the ground. I looked down, seeing the leftover spaghetti noodles around my ankles wriggling as if there were thousands of tiny snakes. Seconds passed, but seemed much longer, and I was now looking into my eyes as he introduced himself. General Butters. He told me that I must face the consequences of my actions. I asked him what actions he was speaking of when I got was a sharp, humorous laugh and a scoff. He said that there are thousands of individuals in the Food Kingdom were murdered by humans every day, and basically he wasn't going to take it anymore. I had nothing to say. What could I say? General Butters called forth the judge and up a slice of bread. It addressed the court. "I am Judge Rye. I will do my best to bring justice to you, the food." After he spoke, that I should have awakened from this nightmare, but I was sure that I wasn't asleep. The drive sounded exactly like Christopher Walken, and this is where I really thought I was finally losing my mind. "What about the justice to the innocent?" I nearly shouted. The bear looked around as if thinking, then he answered, "You got a point there." A murmur went across the foods, which have now taken up their seats around the kitchen. General Butters was furious and expressed it. "This is fucking stupid, you hear me? Let's just fry him and get back to our lives. He deserves no better." Rye looked at the general, and he spoke loudly in his most intimidating voice. "You know, I understand how you feel. I do, but if you so much as to tell me how to do my job, I'll kill you. You'll die." When the judge stopped talking, I could have sworn that the general was sweating, but he managed a court nod and backed away swiftly. Judge Rye looked at me, and I felt an electric current run down my spine as he spoke. "Now, how do you plead?" "Very not guilty," I answered him. Rye looked around the room at the congregation, seeing that they were all biting back their comments, smiling and proceeded me. "Yeah, that works for me." Well, this time the horde displayed outright fury and shouted. Even Butters broke out and shoved Rye off the counter with flinging a hidden butter knife. The knife flew straight into Judge Rye's side, pinning him to the ground. Rye grunted. "You bastard!" The pandemonium. Everyone started pointing fingers. I felt the noodles loosen and I took my chance. I was about to run, but I couldn't leave Judge Rye with Butters, so I tugged the knife and out and scooped up the slice of bread. I turned to the door, but there stood the general. He seemed to have read my thoughts. I thought I was done for when he raised that knife. As soon as I lost hope, a tremendous shadow filled the kitchen behind Butters. Butters turned and tried to get out of the way as a piercing war cry came from my savior. "You are mine, suckers!" shouted Chuck as he came down on the stick of butter. A strange smashing sound struck the room, and wails of terror sounded. The food ran for their lives. I ran to Struck and popped him one. His snarl of anger turned to joy until he realized there was a buttery explosion underneath him. "Oh my God, ew!" said Struck as he fled in terror into the stairs, where he paused, slowly swiveled to face the stairs, leaned back, and proceeded to scream some more while he cascaded down the front door. I was right behind him, carrying Rye. From somewhere behind me, I heard the forces gathering again. "Quick, the garage!" I shouted. Struck hopped and danced in front of the door, then turned around. "I don't have any fucking hands! Where'd you?" The bag was almost hysterical. I moved him to the side and opened it, shoving Struck and myself through the door, and shouting it just as something impacted the other side. I locked the door. I waited a few minutes to caught my breath while Struck screamed and paced in fear. I was trying to think and the bag wasn't helping, so I left him pounded Struck until his face was almost splitting with a smile, but I didn't stop there. I took out my aggression from the past couple of days, and I blocked everything else out. I came out of my daze and realized the bag was trying to speak in between the tears of happiness. "Wait! Punch! Seriously, kick! No more throttle! Okay, don't stop! Headbutt!" "No, stop. Give me 10 minutes. I stopped and started shaking. "Struck, are you okay?" I asked and realized that it actually cared about this inanimate object that was now animated. The bag looked around and then at me. "I love you," was all it said, and it seemed to fall asleep. Tuesday. I watched over Struck and Rye as Tuesday came and realized that tomorrow I had to save Mary. Right now I had to save myself from the groceries. I looked at the punching bag, my friend, and smiled. I turned my gaze to Rye, who was awake and staring intently at me. At first we just stared at each other, and then I spoke. "Why did you stick up for me? I mean, I eat bread." The judge thought about it, then answered. "What's your name?" I gave him my name, and he continued. "Listen, guy, that's what I made. I made to eat you, you know. It's just that simple." I thought about this for a while and said, "Thank you." "No problem," said Rye as he smiled. I then looked at the wound in his side and tried to close it. "Please don't. I'm done for," said the judge almost wearily, but he still spoke. "I want you to eat me. You have to gain your strength. You'll have to fight again." When he was done, I stared at him. Struck was awake and listening carefully. I nodded gently, picked up Rye. "You were a good judge," I said. Rye winked at me, and I ate him. I was angry. I was angry at the world, at Butters, at myself. I turned to Struck. "You have the choice, Struck. You can help me fight, or you can stay here. I won't think anything less of you if you stay. I think of you as a good friend." I wasn't sure, but I saw Struck almost shed a tear.
"I'm with you, guy. You great big ass," said the bag sincerely.
I nodded and kneed him in the gut. The smile was back. We spent a few hours planning and we were ready. Our plan was simple, an old-fashioned rush attack to get upstairs where my silver case was. Struck opened the door and slowly and tilted to peek outside. Thwack, thwack, thwack. My heart leapt in my throat. What happened? Struck's back was still to me as if the door closed. Slowly he swiveled around. 3 eggs had smashed into the body of my friend. The look of complete joy was on his face as he yelled,
"I've been hit!"
With that, he crashed to the floor, his face cracking, water gushing everywhere. The smile quickly faded from the bag as it understood what was going on.
Oh my God, there's so much water. I'm dying.
I continued to hold Strux's head while trying to put pressure on the wound, but nothing would staunch the liquid. The bag kept talking.
I'm sorry, I wasn't a lot of help. I fought back the tears
and spoke gently. Are you kidding? You saved me upstairs. I would have kept talking to Strux, but no longer moved. His eyes closed. He was dead. Wednesday. I was tired, sad, angry. It was time to deal with death. I grabbed the shovel and opened the door from the garage into the house. I ran upstairs with a sound, spotted the silver box of the neighbor's vein, and flung myself to it, and was nearly missed by a handful of eggs. Orders were shouted, and more eggs were launched in my direction. I slipped my hand to the handle of the case and rolled away, letting the eggs splatter harmlessly away from me. I flipped the locks open and pulled out the handgun, sliding a cartridge home. I then let out an inhuman cry as I ran forward to the kitchen, shooting targets as I saw them. A ketchup bottle drove off the side of the counter, snarling a range. I turned and shot it out of the sky, ketchup everywhere. It died before it hit the ground. A frozen bag of chicken stumbled at me. I fired two shots and it took it in the breast. A head of lettuce practically exploded as a paintball destroyed its insides. I felt something clamp into my arm and I looked to see the spaghetti wrapped around my left arm, squeezing until I dropped my weapon. I bellowed in rage and stared viciously, eating the overcooked cold noodles. Cries of woe came from the other survivors as they quivered in fear and ran screaming, "The end is nigh!" They yelled and they disappeared. Finally, it was over. A twang sounded and I instinctively ducked. I looked up to find a butter knife where my head just was. It couldn't be, I thought to myself, but sure as hell there stood General Butters, though only 3 tablespoons of him struck had done his damage. "I'm gonna kill you, you can't run now. There's not one of you left to help you. I wish I had been there to see you, the red bag die, that bastard." Upon hearing these words, I snapped. I grabbed the gun on the floor as another knife whistled past and shot. The cube of butter threw itself into the side and the bullet grazed its head. Screaming in pain, it produced another knife and it chucked it as soon as I could pull the trigger again. The knife barreled through the paintball, splitting it in half and lodging itself into the gun, jarring it from my hand. I went to retrieve the gun but thought better of it when I saw another knife streaking towards me. Without thinking, I slapped it out of the air and leaped over to the stunned general in a shoulder roll, grabbing the shovel I left there. I twisted around, heaving the shovel into a two-handed swing straight down on Butters, who exploded into a puff of buttery air. I had won. Yet there was no time to rest. I kept the shovel in my hand and ran outside to Preston's house. He was outside with Mary, bound and gagged from head to foot on the ground. So the Nazi decided to come after all. I stared at him and decided I had enough of people, or things, trying to kill me. I walked up to the old man, who looked almost unsure, and swung the shovel. Clang! The old man's head snapped back, and a new look passed his face, one of respect, then one of unconsciousness. I untied Mary, who, of course, was puzzled. Before she could speak, I said, "There, I saved you. Now go home. And no, this does not mean we're back together." But, of course, she had to say something. Are we breaking up? I turned around. Clang. Saturday. I woke up. I had slept for 3.5 days, and I felt great. I went upstairs and found nothing wrong. Everything was clean and didn't show a sign of battle. So it was just a dream. I looked at my handgun. A butter knife was sticking out of it. I shook my head. I didn't care. Dream or not, it was over. Later that day, I patched a crack in the bottom of my punching bag and filled it with water. As I punched it, I almost thought I saw the sides crease upwards into a grin. But when I blinked, it was gone. I smiled. That was Odd's Rebellion by Orin the Mad. For more podcasts, tune in next week or subscribe at iTunes or at many other podcasting sites. Thank you for listening. This has been Maud.